You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio, local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Man, we cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said a moment ago, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Fry-yay all day long. But listen, I gotta jump into my comments here. And, you know, there's some stuff that I saw in the news in the last few days. Plus, I've been seeing this current trend. But it got me to thinking, there's always that one teacher, you know, that one instructor, that one professor, the one who stands out because you learned something from them, but you also knew that they would hold you accountable. Hard but fair, you know. Study the material, show up in class on time, take notes, do all that you can, and they will work with you. But God forbid if you step across that bright line into ignorance or insolence or intransigence, at which point that teacher descends like a spider monkey on a cupcake, man. Well, I've had some of those instructors, teachers, professors. I can remember one instructor, an NCO at Ranger School, who was excellent at his job and made me want to prove myself, but man, he was hard. I remember a teacher who taught world history in ninth grade. But there's one that stands out in my memory from law school that takes the standard to the next level. I had him for two semesters of constitutional law. Con Law 1, Con Law 2, Professor Beeman, if my memory serves, was a Harvard Law graduate and a former Marine. He taught well, and he had a policy, and it was writ in stone. He called the roll every class, and based upon those calling out present, he would question people about the readings. He would call your name. He would ask you to outline a case that had been assigned. He'd ask you to describe the justification for the court's reasoning. He would ask you to apply legal principles and even ask you what the precedent was and how it would apply had the facts of the case been different. You didn't always have to be right, but you had to be prepared and able to defend your position. You had to be able to question the content of what you were reading. But he had another policy. And that was if before he called the roll, which he did every day, if before he called the roll, you put a piece of paper with your name on it on his desk, then he would mark you present, but he would not call on you. In his words, he knew that we were all grown-ups, we had busy lives, that occasionally life would get the upper hand, and he was not going to persecute someone for having a bad week. You were allowed to do this no more than two times for the whole semester. It was an honor system. It was big boy rules. But if you did not put your name down, and he elected to call you that day, and you were not prepared, well, God help you. The questions came rapid fire. The judgment of fire and pain was wrought upon you, and black mark went by your name in his ledger that would negatively impact your final grade. Whew, it was fair, but it was rough on some folks who didn't follow through. But what I also liked about Beeman's class was that he used what was called the Socratic method of teaching. He taught you often by asking questions and requiring that you provide an answer or a justification. The only way to truly understand something, really, y'all, is to mull it around and ask questions and develop that deep understanding that comes from being able to defend or dissect a position. It was one of the hardest courses I took in 3 years of law school. It was also one of the best courses I took in 3 years of law school. Because of that, I learned not just the content of what was in the textbooks. I learned the true value of asking questions. Not like in a badgering sort of pesky way, but in a gut check sort of way. I learned that it's often not enough to simply say, I believe in something, but it's more likely necessary that I believe and I question and I therefore understand so that I can better relate my thoughts on it. Questioning is healthy. Questioning keeps us sharp. Questioning breeds accountability. Questioning indicates freedom of thought. And if we don't question, or even worse, if we're told not to question, then we lose before we start, and we're unable to prevail on the issues at hand. So thank you very much, Professor Beeman. But it's that freedom of thought that undergirds the freedom of speech. You see, we're guaranteed a right under the First Amendment to speak those things that we believe, but what good is speech if it does not involve questions? Benjamin Franklin allegedly said, quote, "Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must first begin by subduing the freeness of speech." But the left would have us to believe that questioning is wrong. How dare we question? What are you questioning? Don't question. Here's the narrative. Case in point is the brand that's often attached to anyone who dares to question the results of the 2020 presidential election. Now, Joe Biden's president, but in my opinion, Joe Biden has an asterisk next to his name. Anyone who dares to question, though, is immediately labeled with some form of a scarlet letter. You're an election denier, an insurrectionist. Well, just yesterday, Congresswoman Liz Cheney was in an interview on a national network declaring that Republican, supposedly her party, right, Republican candidate for governor of Arizona, Carrie Lake, is an election denier, and that she, Liz Cheney, would be out campaigning for any Democrat running against an election denier Republican. Anyone who questions the elections of that strange, awful, chaotic, rule-bending, deeply suspect, pandemic-obscured, civil unrest-enduring election is a threat to democracy, says Liz Cheney. Well, here's some news. The true threat to democracy is the idea that elected officials would ever want to crush dissent or require adherence to a published narrative without question and limit the ability for free and capable thought to occur. That, my friends, is the definition of a police state. When questions become a bigger threat than riots, when free thought is seen as subversive, when words are regarded as weapons legally possessed by only those in power, then we have crossed over into a new and different and dark place. But listen, I don't believe we're there yet. Despite the fact that some in the Biden administration and in patches of the never-Trump Republicans believe that public expression should be suppressed, I don't believe that, by and large, we as a nation have turned that corner, at least not fully. It's tight in some places. I mean, there's those right now who have spent more time in jail for allegedly being somewhere near the Capitol on January 6, 2021, than those who have spent time, any time, in jail for burning and looting and extorting during the BLM and Antifa riots in the same time frame. But nonetheless, I see reason to be encouraged in the rising wave of not just red politics, but of conservative red politics. I see a Supreme Court that's poised right now to maintain the originalist view of the Constitution, which ensures free speech. And I see candidates like Carrie Lake and many others all over the nation who openly express their questions and provide insight into the facts that gave them their answers. And those candidates are winning their races. So question everything. Be willing to accept the answers, whether you like them or not, whatever they may be, but don't for a second accept the narrative that you should ever accept an answer to a life issue, a culture issue, a political issue, simply because it was the chosen narrative. You got to question. And when you question, you maintain that freedom of speech. So thank you very much, Professor Beeman. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, Liz Cheney, I don't know where she comes from. I don't even know who she is anymore. Does she know who she is anymore? I don't know. But the reality is this. We got a question. Question. And I'm not talking about just the elections. I'm talking about everything. Question. Question economic policy. Question. Question what we're doing. Question my faith. I question my faith, but not in the fact that I don't believe, but question so I understand better. God likes it when we ask questions. He loves to give answers. All I'm saying is this. Ask questions. And then you'll be surprised. If we ask questions, we maintain that freedom of speech. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. That's the one I have to listen to. I have to
every
wait.
Every time.
I have to.
I'm over here playing like the invisible guitar and drums at the same time.
I know.
Time.
I got to give Slash his moment to get to the crescendo there after he gets through those riffs. By the way, there are times when I feel like my show is just prescient, just literally laying it down where the baby goats can get to it, and CNN just put up there on the that one of those confirmation moments. So CNN's running a banner headline just a moment ago. I've got number three on the triple dipper today, buying friends and voters all about the student bailout, and it just finished saying that Biden is giving a major speech today designed to talk about student loan bailouts and hopefully draw in younger voters. What does that tell you? That's the whole point of that segment. I could step away from the microphone and just let that speech play out if I thought my audience could stand it. It's so obvious. This whole thing is designed just to, oh man, we got to do something. Got to show some movement. Got to do anything. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's pay off some stuff. Let's give some people some stuff. What do we give them? Student loans. Oh, that's a good idea. Sure. We won't alienate 2/3 of America by doing that. Boomer, do you still have that link to that commercial the other day? That the RNC did?
Give me about 2 minutes.
Yeah, if you'll find that, man, I think we're going to have to play that one again today. And maybe even like in the next couple minutes if you find it, because that was just so awesome. The RNC, the Republican National Committee, put together this video. It's like a commercial, and it was out on social media when I saw it, and it was so well done. And it was basically three working class folks talking about just with you know, just like overplaying their hand here, like how excited they were to work extra hard and long hours on their second job in order to be able to pay off the student loan of the person who got the theater degree from a school they can no longer afford to be a part of. It's unreal. It's so funny. We'll cover down on that. Hey, listen, by the way, the text line has been going bananas lately. I mean, we've added so many people to the text line. So here's the deal. We have the studio number, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number, 833-68-RIGHT. Well, that is a text and phone line. So you can text us to that number, or you can call in. And it's Friday, so we'll take calls. But I'll say this, texting has gotten to be pretty cool. Hundreds of people now are on the text string. And what you do is this. Of course, you can text your message. If you're already in there, we already have your name. We can say, you know, hey, you know, John from Huntsville. I'm looking at it right now. I can see Ben from Decatur, Terry from Madison, Raven from Russellville, Cliff from Athens, Tammy from Newmarket. I mean, going down the line, there's all kinds of folks in there. But if this is new to you, you haven't done it yet, the very first time you text that number, 833-68-RIGHT, just text the word right side. It'll say something like, you know, welcome, right side ruffian, and, you know, and then give us your, like, first name and where you're from. We'll plug it into the system, and then from then on, whenever you text in, we'll be able to say, hey, look at that, Ben from Decatur's texting in, which, by the way, he did just yesterday evening, I think, after the show was over. But anyway, all that to say, you got that thing, man?
Yep.
Okay, so let's. You know what? In honor of the fact that CNN just confirmed that one part of my triple dipper is so timely that the president's going to speak about it, I want to play this clip again. This is a epic. It's funny, not funny. You know what I'm saying? Play it, Boomer.
I spend more time working on these cars than with my own family.
I spend my days digging holes, cutting grass, and sweating.
This is job number two today. So my customers aren't the only ones drinking coffee.
I'm breaking my back out here for one reason.
I want to pay off some other guy's debt.
Biden's plan to pay other people's college loans using my tax dollars is a great idea.
Biden's right. You should take my tax dollars to pay off your debts. My family will figure out how to get by with less. What's most important is we spare college graduates from any extra stress.
Want to be a struggling artist? College is on me.
My kids don't need fancy things like school supplies or new shoes.
I work for you, theater major.
This shift is for you, business major. Go buy yourself that new car.
Enjoy your free ride. College is on me.
Tell Congress, stop Biden's bailout for rich kids.
Oh, my gosh. That cracks me up. I think I mean, there were several parts in there that were just funny, but good for you, theater major or whatever he said. This one's on me. Hey, business school graduate, go get yourself that new car. This is such a bad idea. This so flies in the face, by the way, of first world country culture. All right, this is when you've gotten so big that you no longer remember the value of money. You no longer remember the value of achievement. You recognize only those folks who are victims. And since you have so much, you know, in your wallet, so to speak, government-wise, you just like, what else can we spend it on? I don't know. Let's find somebody and declare them a victim, and then we'll go ahead and give them some money. That's not a good idea.
They'll be happy.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. And I got to look at it and go, I would bet you, that the vast majority of people who took out student loans, they didn't ask for this. I mean, you're going to have some folks who are like, oh, it's so hard. I'm so stressed because I actually have to pay back the debt that I signed up for. But, you know, it's like I said the other day, you chose that underwater basket weaving degree with the $50,000 in tuition. That's your fault, man. But I will tell you this, and it's going to be one of the things we're going to cover down in that segment later in the show if we can get through it all. It is apparent to me, though, that one thing that has to be addressed is the lack of accountability of the colleges and universities that are letting kids borrow money for worthless degrees. Now, if you are literally loaning someone money for the underwater basket weaving degree, you know for a fact they're not going to go out and make a good living with that. There may ought to be some criteria, like you have to do market analysis to validate that particular profession has an average income capable of sustaining the debt that goes along with the student loan, not to mention the usual debts and expenses of life. So, maybe colleges ought to quit allowing students to sign up for student loans to pay for things that have no bearing upon, you know, a financially successful future. There's a thought. There's a whole new soliloquy. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got lots more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.